Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
To produce unity, they had actually produced discord, jealousy within the church at Corinth. So unity was a key topic that Paul was trying to illustrate as he was going through the rest of his letter. So if you'll pick up with me at 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read a segment out of there from, I'm going to go from starting at verse 12, and then we'll take it to about verse 27. For even as the body as one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot says, by the way, Woodson will help us with that today, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. So the foot says. It is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I can't reach the ear quite. If the ear says, I am not a part of the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. Let me say that again. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, oh, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division, or your Bible might say schism, in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, as Joy was honored today, then all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Thank you, God, for the power of your word you've given to us. Let it have its effect in our hearts, in our lives, and in this place called New Covenant Church. Amen. Okay, so the church is a body, according to Paul. That is, he's the most prolific New Testament author who makes reference to this thing called the body of Christ, more so than any other writer. And there are some excellent reasons why Paul has given this illustration for the church. A couple quick things to mention there. First is this: we actually need one another. Listen, within our bodies, the human body, physiology-wise, the kidneys and the heart, there's no competition between one another. They're pulling for one another. That's how our body was designed. And we just had a song during the break called The Heart of the Matter. And heart, because of that, when we refer to our cardia, our physical heart, we often think that is the most important organ of the body, the essential organ. But while my brother was in medical school, he had a professor of hepatology. And he would start his lectures by saying something like this: The liver cleans the blood for the rest of the body. The heart exists to serve the liver, is how he'd speak. So he believed the liver was the most important organ of the body. Truth be told, the two parts have to work in concert. So also is the body of Christ. And because we are parts of a body, we desperately need each part to function as designed. More than just as a team or a club or an organization, we are a living organism, alive, and we all are part of it. We need one another to experience God fully. Listen to me on this. There is an unseen presence of God in our midst when we gather together for worship. You know, the scripture says, where Jesus says this, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in with them in their midst. Well, this is why worshiping together is so essential to our spiritual health. And this is my pastoral hobby horse. How can people grow in Christ without regular participation in the community of faith? Of course, you're all here today, so I'm preaching to the choir. And that is unfair, I agree. But you understand my concern. How can we grow, really grow into Christ, when we are not part of the body? And Christianity outside the context of community is a concept that's contrary to what the scripture says about Christianity. Read the Bible. There's so many one another's all throughout the writings. But if we can, we ought to avoid some errors of exclusion from the body of Christ. In other words, there are times when we can be very wrong in the way people get excluded from the body of Christ. Dare I call it, it's a sin. It's a sin how some people become excluded. And there's two common errors that cause people to become excluded. And Paul's reference right here in 1 Corinthians 12 includes at least two of them. So I'm going to cover those two. The first error is this one. We exclude ourselves from the body because we undervalue our gift. Paul wrote that in verse 15. So that the foot excludes himself because he is not a hand. Well, perhaps the foot gets the poor view of things. He has to make his way through the dust and the dung all day long, while the hand gets to do cool and interesting things. Not so with the foot. Or how about this one? The ear excluded himself, perhaps because more care was given, let's say, to the eye. Maybe the ear began to envy the eye because of the special attention that the eye gets. Well, what's the matter, I? Got to quit just because of an itty-bitty dirt? Oh, poor baby. At least you don't have to put up with earwax. And then in verse 17, Paul presents how dysfunctional the body would become if we were all of similar function. And then in verse 18, he claims this. He gives the reason why we have to get over our petty envy, why we wish we were somebody else in the body of Christ. It says this, because God placed you in the body. It is as he desired, not as you desired. And you know, sometimes our desires don't match God's desires. Do you get that? Your purpose in the body may not be something you're happy about right now. But God knows. He knows what he's doing when he gives you gifts and places you in the body. But there's a second error. And the second error that's referred to here by Paul in verse 21 is this. We exclude others because we undervalue their gift. So Paul attacks that practice of berating or minimizing other parts of the body or the church by claiming we have no need of them and we reject them. Perhaps the eye forgot the last time that he got dirty. It was the hand who cleaned them up. Think about that. Growing up as a young Christian, I had an experience of being thrust into a fellowship of other believers who were not charismatic. And I have to admit, I looked down upon them, saying, you don't even have all of the things of the Holy Spirit that I have. And so I had an unfortunate prejudice against them. I was dismissing them. I was rejecting them for their role in the body of Christ. Can I tell you how very, very wrong I learned that I was at that time? Because I came to love and cherish fellowship with all of those Christians because it was the only fellowship I could find at the time. And then I valued their gifts. I saw their gifts at work. I was saying, this is the way it ought to be. And I had to repent in sackcloth and ashes. Well, years ago, an author named Keith Yoder wrote a book on healthy leadership. And in that book, Yoder was comparing two different styles of leadership and how both styles are necessary for the health of the church. He called them visioners and resters. Please ignore the names for now. But in essence, one leader may be gifted in seeing and envisioning a future for the church. But unfortunately, they had no clue how to get the church to that place. And there are some leaders like that. While the other style of leader, he was gifted and just satisfied in knowing exactly what was needed to get to the church to that point. They weren't particularly visionary, but they knew how to get the job done. Listen, the point is these two leadership styles may clash, but even though they clash, they're both essential for the church to get where it needs to be. Without the one, the church is going to fall short of God's best for them, because God has placed the members just as he desired. See, if anybody is excluded from that, we're missing God's best, even at the leadership level. Furthermore, Paul writes this. We'll get to it in a second. He makes it clear that we're not just a pile of body parts jumbled together. We're not just a bag of bones called the body of Christ. But there are necessary and functional connections between the various parts of the body. Look at Paul's reference to the body again, but this time, look at the epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Interesting. It's actually a mini list of some of the gifts of the body of Christ can be found in chapter 4. Some people call these offices within the church. We call them the fivefold ministry. But Paul references that. And then there's a parallel then between the passage that we're studying in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. But let's shorten that study and go to verse 15, where it says this. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, there it is, the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So back to my diagram. In this case, I've chosen the knee. Paul's using the body illustration. And just think about your knee. Consider all the amazing things that you can do because of the essential and complex connections that happen in the joint called the knee. Those of you who have had to have replacement knees, you know what it means when that joint isn't working right. You know the pain you experience. You know the things you can't do if that connection isn't working out. Listen, when it's working right, it's a beautiful thing. When the two parts fit together, they're joined together for the building up of one another in love, according to Paul. It's a beautiful thing. The proper working of each of the individual parts. In one of our mission trips to Haiti, I just had a moment where I wasn't part of the fray. I could actually sit back and watch it. And I looked around the room at doctors and nurses and pharmacists and runners who were just collecting information and passing out all the medication to the, how is one big machine, everyone working together, doing their individual part. And it was a beautiful thing to see. So also is the body of Christ. So the problem with these two errors of exclusion is that people end up sitting passively on the margins. This is what I call spectator Christianity, question mark. Is there such a thing as spectator Christianity? I do not think there is such a thing. I don't think that's a biblical concept. We're not designed to sit on the sidelines and watch all the other professionals do the work. We're all supposed to be part of this thing called the body of Christ. Remembering this, we can't exclude ourselves and we can't exclude others. Even the weaker parts, the less flashier ones, they are essential. So, as I close, can we ask this question? Let's consider our connectedness in the body of Christ. So today I'm going to ask you this. How connected you are in the body known as the church. Not just how you feel, but how connected, in fact, are you in the body? You may be one of the people that only attends here at church one or two Sundays a month. And listen, I understand lifestyles. I understand jobs that keep people working on Sundays. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is people who option out of participation in the body, where they don't actually have serious connection to anyone else. I got this great quote from Friedrich Buechner, and he said this, "The life I touch for good or ill will touch another life, and that in turn another, until who knows where the trembling stops or in what far place my touch will be felt." You see, there's a bigger picture here than we see. So you just think, well, I'm really not in the mood to go to small group tonight. I have other things I have to do. Sorry, I can't make it to church. Too many things going on right now. When you make those decisions, I don't think you realize what's being lost in terms of our connectedness. So here's the question. In what ways does my life touch the lives of others here in the body of Christ so that my gift can bless others? Do I have somebody that I can reach out to in my own time of need, my own time of sorrow or grief, an emergency? Can I reach out to somebody? Am I close enough to someone here that they would lovingly correct me if they saw that I was in danger spiritually? Is there somebody who could speak and get me out of trouble, pull me out of a ditch? Let's pray. Let's just pray. So Lord, show us how we need to be connected to others. God, I thank you for the illustration that Paul gave us, a dramatic picture, but a powerful one, Lord, of how we need to be connected to one another. Lord, I pray that you would keep us from the errors of excluding ourselves. Prevent us, Lord, from excluding others by attitudes towards them. And Lord, I especially pray for those who right now find themselves just outside the body of Christ. Lord, would you help create for them connections, healthy connections, God. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.